Unit 5, Part 2, Development of 4R Skills. Section A, Listening Comprehension. Task 1. Now listen to a news item and answer question 1.
Evolution can be defined as change in groups of living things over time. Small changes take place in each generation of organisms. Those with useful changes survive to reproduce. Changes that do not aid survival disappear. This is the idea of natural selection. Over long periods of time, these small changes result in the creation of new species. They are the reason for the many different kinds of life on Earth. The idea that species change was not new even in Darwin's time. The idea dates back to ancient Greece. In the late 18th century, Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, suggested that species evolved from their ancestors. He even thought that competition helped drive change. At the beginning of the 19th century, Jean-Baptiste Lamarck attempted a fuller explanation. He suggested that individual organisms changed in reaction to their environment and passed on these traits to the next generation. Now listen to the item again and answer question 2. Evolution can be defined as change in groups of living things over time. Small changes take place in each generation of organisms. Those with useful changes survive to reproduce. Changes that do not aid survival disappear. This is the idea of natural selection. Over long periods of time, these small changes result in the creation of new species. They are the reason for the many different kinds of life on Earth. The idea that species change was not new even in Darwin's time. The idea dates back to ancient Greece. In the late 18th century, Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, suggested that species evolved from their ancestors. He even thought that competition helped drive change. At the beginning of the 19th century, Jean-Baptiste Lamarck attempted a fuller explanation. He suggested that individual organisms changed in reaction to their environment and passed on these traits to the next generation. Task 2. Now listen to a news item and answer question 3.
NASA calls the Big Bang Theory the leading theory for describing the beginning of the universe. The theory says the universe was created almost 14,000 million years ago from a huge explosion. Big Bang scientists think all the parts of the universe started from a single object. It would have been small, but of great mass. Scientists believe this object exploded. They think the universe is still expanding today from that event. There are two major pieces of evidence that scientists say support the Big Bang theory. First, stars and other objects in space appear to be moving away from each other. The other major evidence is the existence of background microwave radiation. Scientists think the Big Bang explosion created this energy. The Big Bang theory is widely accepted by scientists. However, most of them would agree that it is unlikely anyone will ever be able to prove the theory.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 4.
NASA calls the Big Bang Theory the leading theory for describing the beginning of the universe. The theory says the universe was created almost 14,000 million years ago from a huge explosion. Big Bang scientists think all the parts of the universe started from a single object. It would have been small, but of great mass. Scientists believe this object exploded. They think the universe is still expanding today from that event. There are two major pieces of evidence that scientists say support the Big Bang theory. First, stars and other objects in space appear to be moving away from each other. The other major evidence is the existence of background microwave radiation. Scientists think the Big Bang explosion created this energy. The Big Bang theory is widely accepted by scientists. However, most of them would agree that it is unlikely anyone will ever be able to prove the theory. Task 3. Now listen to a news item and answer question 5.
Last week, an international meeting in Sacramento, California, brought together agricultural, science, and environmental officials. They attended the ministerial conference and expo on agricultural science and technology. The United States Department of Agriculture and the Agency for International Development organized the event. During the conference, Agriculture Secretary Anne Veneman presented a report written by her department. The report advises countries to support scientific discoveries in agriculture. It says greater productivity would improve economic growth and reduce hunger. The report identifies several technologies that researchers think will be important in the 21st century agriculture. Genetic research is one area. Tools that work with single molecules, nanotechnology, may also help research on plants and animals. Another area is bioremediation. This is a process in which organisms could be used to remove pollution from the environment, like oil spills. And better ways to use and spread information through databases can help researchers around the world.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 6.
Last week, an international meeting in Sacramento, California, brought together agricultural, science, and environmental officials. They attended the ministerial conference and expo on agricultural science and technology. The United States Department of Agriculture and the Agency for International Development organized the event. During the conference, Agriculture Secretary Anne Veneman presented a report written by her department. The report advises countries to support scientific discoveries in agriculture. It says greater productivity would improve economic growth and reduce hunger. The report identifies several technologies that researchers think will be important in the 21st century agriculture. Genetic research is one area. Tools that work with single molecules, nanotechnology, may also help research on plants and animals. Another area is bioremediation. This is a process in which organisms could be used to remove pollution from the environment, like oil spills. And better ways to use and spread information through databases can help researchers around the world. Task 4. Now listen to a long conversation and answer questions 7 to 8.
Is that Cathy Wang?
Yes, speaking.
Hello, it's Mike from London.
Hello, Mike. How can I help you?
You sent me an email yesterday about next project team meeting.
Yes.
Now I'm fixing up the theme of our project team meeting with you.
Okay.
It's about the testing of your new system. We are gathering to talk about the possible problems the new system may have.
Yes, it's quite necessary. Then who will attend this meeting?
All the team leaders and team members of this project. You are the chief engineer, so you are expected to attend it if you're available.
Okay, no problem.
Then I want to check some possible dates with you.
Fine, let me just get my diary. Okay, which dates are you looking at?
I've spoken to the others and they prefer either the 4th week of April or the 2nd week of June.
Yes, both those weeks are pretty clear at the moment, except for the 10th of June.
Right, I've got that.
So when's the meeting taking place this time?
It was going to be in London, but I spoke to Tom in Mexico City, and he suggested Chicago. He thinks it'll be more convenient for most of the team.
He's probably right. It would certainly be much easier for me as well, because I can fly from Toronto, and I'm sure you could find a meeting room somewhere near the airport.
That's a good idea. I'll check out some hotels in that area and get back to you towards the end of the week.
Fine, but I'm not in the office on Friday.
Okay, I'll call you later in the afternoon on Thursday.
No problem. Bye.
Now listen to the conversation again and answer questions 9 to 12.
Is that Cathy Wang?
Yes, speaking.
Hello, it's Mike from London.
Hello, Mike. How can I help you?
You sent me an email yesterday about next project team meeting.
Yes.
Now I'm fixing up the theme of our project team meeting with you.
Okay.
It's about the testing of your new system. We are gathering to talk about the possible problems the new system may have.
Yes, it's quite necessary. Then who will attend this meeting?
All the team leaders and team members of this project. You are the chief engineer, so you are expected to attend it if you're available.
Okay, no problem.
Then I want to check some possible dates with you.
Fine, let me just get my diary. Okay, which dates are you looking at?
I've spoken to the others and they prefer either the 4th week of April or the 2nd week of June.
Yes, both those weeks are pretty clear at the moment, except for the 10th of June.
Right, I've got that.
So when's the meeting taking place this time?
It was going to be in London, but I spoke to Tom in Mexico City and he suggested Chicago. He thinks it'll be more convenient for most of the team.
He's probably right. It would certainly be much easier for me as well, because I can fly from Toronto, and I'm sure you could find a meeting room somewhere near the airport.
That's a good idea. I'll check out some hotels in that area and get back to you towards the end of the week.
Fine, but I'm not in the office on Friday.
Okay, I'll call you later in the afternoon on Thursday.
No problem. Bye.
Task 5. Now listen to a passage and answer questions 13 to 14.
Edwin Powell Hubble was born in 1889 in Marshfield, Missouri. He spent his early years in the state of Kentucky. Then he moved with his family to Chicago, Illinois. He attended the University of Chicago and studied mathematics and astronomy. When Hubble was 30 years old, he was offered a position at the Mount Wilson Observatory in Southern California. Hubble then began to observe the galaxies. He studied their shape and brightness. By 1925, he had made enough observations to say that the universe is organized into galaxies of many shapes and sizes. As stars differ from one another, he said, so do galaxies. Some are spiral galaxies. Others are shaped like baseballs or eggs. A few have no special shape. In the late 1920s, Hubble studied the movement of galaxies through space. His investigation led to the most important astronomical discovery of the 20th century, the expanding universe. Hubble developed a plan for measuring both the distance and speed of as many galaxies as possible. With his assistant at Mount Wilson, Milton Humason, Hubble measured the movement of galaxies. The two men did this by studying what Hubble called the red shift. It also is known as the Doppler effect. The Doppler effect explains changes in the length of light waves or sound waves as they move toward you or away from you. Light waves from an object speeding away from you will stretch into longer wavelengths. They appear red. Light waves from an object speeding toward you will have shorter wavelengths. They appear blue. Observations of 46 galaxies showed Hubble that the galaxies were traveling away from Earth. The observations also showed that the speed was linked directly to the galaxy's distance from Earth. Hubble discovered that the farther away a galaxy is, the greater its speed. This scientific rule is called Hubble's Law. Hubble's discovery meant a major change in our idea of the universe. The universe had not been quiet and unchanging since the beginning of time, as many people had thought. It was expanding. And that, Hubble said, meant it probably began with an explosion of unimaginable force. The explosion often is called the Big Bang. Hubble's work did not end with this discovery. He continued to examine galaxies. He continued to gain new knowledge about them. Astronomers from all over the world went to study with him. After World War II, Hubble spent much of his time planning a new, much larger telescope in Southern California. The telescope was completed in 1949. It had a mirror 500 centimeters across. It was named after astronomer George Ellery Hale. Edwin Hubble was the first person to use the Hale telescope. He died in 1953 while preparing to spend four nights looking through the telescope at the sky. Hubble's work led to new research on the birth of the universe. Now listen to the passage again and answer questions 15 to 18. Edwin Powell Hubble was born in 1889 in Marshfield, Missouri. He spent his early years in the state of Kentucky. Then he moved with his family to Chicago, Illinois. He attended the University of Chicago and studied mathematics and astronomy. When Hubble was 30 years old, he was offered a position at the Mount Wilson Observatory in Southern California. Hubble then began to observe the galaxies. He studied their shape and brightness. By 1925, he had made enough observations to say that the universe is organized into galaxies of many shapes and sizes. As stars differ from one another, he said, so do galaxies. Some are spiral galaxies. Others are shaped like baseballs or eggs. A few have no special shape. In the late 1920s, Hubble studied the movement of galaxies through space. His investigation led to the most important astronomical discovery of the 20th century, the expanding universe. Hubble developed a plan for measuring both the distance and speed of as many galaxies as possible. With his assistant at Mount Wilson, Milton Humason, Hubble measured the movement of galaxies. The two men did this by studying what Hubble called the redshift. It also is known as the Doppler effect. The Doppler effect explains changes in the length of light waves or sound waves as they move toward you or away from you. Light waves from an object speeding away from you will stretch into longer wavelengths. They appear red. Light waves from an object speeding toward you will have shorter wavelengths. They appear blue. Observations of 46 galaxies showed Hubble that the galaxies were traveling away from Earth. The observations also showed that the speed was linked directly to the galaxy's distance from Earth. Hubble discovered that the farther away a galaxy is, the greater its speed. This scientific rule is called Hubble's Law. Hubble's discovery meant a major change in our idea of the universe. The universe had not been quiet and unchanging since the beginning of time, as many people had thought. It was expanding. And that, Hubble said, meant it probably began with an explosion of unimaginable force. The explosion often is called the Big Bang. Hubble's work did not end with this discovery. He continued to examine galaxies. He continued to gain new knowledge about them. Astronomers from all over the world went to study with him. After World War II, Hubble spent much of his time planning a new, much larger telescope in Southern California. The telescope was completed in 1949. It had a mirror 500 centimeters across. It was named after astronomer George Ellery Hale. Edwin Hubble was the first person to use the Hale telescope. He died in 1953 while preparing to spend 4 nights looking through the telescope at the sky. Hubble's work led to new research on the birth of the universe.
Section B. Listening-based integrated tasks.
And now, Tom, can you tell us your story? What happened to you when the earthquake passed?
Oh, it was terrible. I'll never forget it to my dying day. I hope I never see anything like that again. It was terrible.
What did you do during the earthquake, Tom?
Stayed in bed.
What do you mean? Didn't you try to get outside?
No, I'd got terrible flu, so I just stayed in bed.
So, what happened?
Well, I must have slept through the first earthquake, although nobody believes me. They said it was so noisy. Then I woke up about 4 in the morning, still feeling terrible with the flu, eyes running, nose running. You know how you feel when you've got the flu.
Yes, I've been lucky so far this year, though.
So I decided to get up and make a cup of tea. I'd just got into the kitchen when I started to feel all unsteady on my feet. Then I got this roaring noise in my ears. I still thought it was the flu, you see.
So, what happened then?
Well, I slowly realized that it wasn't me feeling dizzy, and the noises weren't in my head. I heard the people upstairs screaming. The wooden floor started moving up and down. The doors and windows started rattling and banging, and all the kitchen cupboards were thrown open, and cups and saucers came crashing to the floor. The kitchen clock fell from the wall.
And your wife, Jane, was she all right?
She was on night shift that day. You know, she's a nurse. She made me a phone call then.
She must be quite frightened.
Yes, she was crying and told me to get out of the house at once. She was a bit shocked. You know, we've never experienced a real earthquake. It was totally different from the one in the Island of Adventure.
Well, what did you do?
What could I do? I just stood there and watched.
Why didn't you try to get out?
Oh, I couldn't be bothered. I was feeling so terrible with the flu. I just went back to my bedroom. Some books had fallen from the bookcase, and that little porcelain vase had rolled to the floor, but fortunately didn't break. I even had to look for my radio under the bed. I picked it up and switched it on, and they were telling people to go and sleep in the parks.
So, why didn't you?
I told you, I was feeling too ill. And the nearest park is a long walk from my flat. And I didn't want to be with a lot of people. So I just stayed in bed and hoped for the best. I didn't really think the house was going to fall down around me.
Yeah, you are a lucky man. And now, Tom, can you tell us your story? What happened to you when the earthquake passed?
Oh, it was terrible. I'll never forget it to my dying day. I hope I never see anything like that again. It was terrible.
What did you do during the earthquake, Tom?
Stayed in bed.
What do you mean? Didn't you try to get outside?
No, I'd got terrible flu, so I just stayed in bed.
So, what happened?
Well, I must have slept through the first earthquake, although nobody believes me. They said it was so noisy. Then I woke up about 4 in the morning, still feeling terrible with the flu, eyes running, nose running. You know how you feel when you've got the flu.
Yes, I've been lucky so far this year, though.
So I decided to get up and make a cup of tea. I'd just got into the kitchen when I started to feel all unsteady on my feet. Then I got this roaring noise in my ears. I still thought it was the flu, you see.
So, what happened then?
Well, I slowly realized that it wasn't me feeling dizzy, and the noises weren't in my head. I heard the people upstairs screaming. The wooden floor started moving up and down. The doors and windows started rattling and banging, and all the kitchen cupboards were thrown open, and cups and saucers came crashing to the floor. The kitchen clock fell from the wall.
And your wife Jane, was she all right?
She was on night shift that day. You know, she's a nurse. She made me a phone call then.
She must be quite frightened.
Yes, she was crying and told me to get out of the house at once. She was a bit shocked. You know, we've never experienced a real earthquake. It was totally different from the one in the Island of Adventure.
Well, what did you do?
What could I do? I just stood there and watched.
Why didn't you try to get out?
Oh, I couldn't be bothered. I was feeling so terrible with the flu. I just went back to my bedroom. Some books had fallen from the bookcase and that little porcelain vase had rolled to the floor, but fortunately didn't break. I even had to look for my radio under the bed. I picked it up and switched it on, and they were telling people to go and sleep in the parks.
So, why didn't you?
I told you, I was feeling too ill. And the nearest park is a long walk from my flat. And I didn't want to be with a lot of people. So I just stayed in bed and hoped for the best. I didn't really think the house was going to fall down around me.
Yeah, you are a lucky man.